Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper P. Quinnell and I'm joined by Randall Andal Datsel.
Hello, that was the perfect way to say my name. Hello everybody, hope you had a lovely Christmas.
Yeah, how was your Christmas, mate?
It was awful.
Yeah?
I didn't get... Thank my mum doesn't listen to this. I asked for one thing for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I asked for a Nintendo Switch.
Because quite a pricey present.
Everyone in the office has one. And I was like...
Say everyone. Luke doesn't. Simon does.
Okay.
Laurie and Ollie do.
That's a lot of people. Basically, I just wanted one. And it was really the only thing I asked for, other than a new coat.
Right.
And there was a box under the tree. I was like, that's probably it. Like, I'm not the sort of person who will go and check on the presents. But, well, the way we do it is someone plays Santa. So I usually just... I sit there and then... give out presents, kind of trying to make sure that by the end, everyone's got like a present to give at the end, because I don't want to sort of give four to someone.
Totally.
So, but I'd spotted this box, and I saw it, that was for me, so I was like, that's probably the Switch. Because I asked for it. And generally, I mean, I've been very lucky in my life. I've generally been able to get. And I was like, right, I'm saving this one for last. And I open it, and it's a toaster. And I didn't want a toaster, but... I didn't have one, so it's fine. And podcast viewers, but I'll show Pete. I probably must have gone sort of half smile, half kind of grimace, trying to hide the fact that I was mildly disappointed. And I didn't want to go. I didn't say anything, obviously, while we were doing it. But a couple of hours later, I just sort of said to Mum, "Oh, did you think I had too many consoles?" She was like, "Yeah, you've got loads." And I was like. And I couldn't help myself. I was like, Mum, I've got one. I play an Xbox One, and I have others, but I don't play them. Like, well, how was I supposed to know that? And I was like, wow. But anyway, I'm gonna try and get a cheap one next time I get paid. But it was just
right.
But actually, other than that, Christmas dinner was amazing. I got lots of lovely presents, lots of nice surprises. Got some new coats, some new clothes, lots of adult things, a spice rack.
Yeah.
Me and the lady partner are gonna go for a weekend away next. Yeah, so that's
where to?
Out to South Wales in like a little farmhouse, cottage thing surrounded by sheep and things like that.
Fun times.
So yeah, what about you, Chopper Pete?
Mine was all right. I didn't get a Switch either, but I didn't ask for one. No. So because I don't really ask for anything for Christmas anymore.
No,
I'm very much past that now. I'm just like, I'll just get what I get.
It was the only thing that I asked for because I couldn't think of anything else that I needed because I'm 24 now and it's got to the point where like I'm just happy with whatever I get.
I'm 24 and all I need in my life is just a Switch. I just asked for a Switch and I just didn't get it.
Mum, if you're listening,
how would you not spend £300 getting me a console? Mum. Yeah, no, my Christmas was great.
Yeah.
It was awesome. We worked out. I went to my parents for Christmas, which we worked out was the first time I'd done so in 5 years.
Because you lived in Newcastle so for
partially
so long.
That. It was 1 year my parents were away in Fiji. What the hell?
Yeah. Wow. That's
yeah. What?
I'm very jealous.
Why? There was a year when there were several years when my job wouldn't let me because I was working around Christmas, so I wouldn't have the time to travel to my parents and back in time for my shifts and stuff. And yes, also was living on the at the other end of the country and things like that. So yeah, for the first time in 5 years, got to spend Christmas with my parents and my grandparents, which was awesome. So yeah, it was just really, really nice to see everyone having fun, because unfortunately my nan's got dementia.
Okay.
But it was very, very nice to see her smiling and laughing and having a good time and all that stuff. So that was lovely, lovely stuff. And we got to give my lady partner had drawn a picture for my grandparents for their present, which we put in a nice frame and all that stuff. So it was really nice to be able to give that to them. But in terms of cool presents, me and my lady partner are going to go to the Warner Brothers Harry Potter experience because my mum bought us tickets to it.
What's Harry Potter, Pete? No, it's a good, it's a good day out. I've been twice now. And they kind of keep adding sort of things. Like the first time I went, they didn't have the Hogwarts Express.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Gringotts in the last film with the dragon.
Yeah.
They didn't have any of that. So I think I probably first time I went was in sort of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went again last year. Well, this year.
Yeah, cool.
So, no, it's a good laugh.
Yeah.
Speaking of making things for people, I painted a... so each year I'd make something handmade for one of my family members.
It's right.
Kind of, because I'm... not very arty or artistic or kind of that doesn't way my mind works.
Yeah.
I've just sort of started making terrible hand like crafted things.
Yeah.
So far I've made like a modeling clay model of my dad. I've carved an owl out of wood. I made an elephant out of clay for my mum.
Uh-huh.
I made a picture frame for my dad. But this year I thought, originally, the plan was to do a cross stitch.
Okay.
And you can do cross stitch very easily.
You can.
Because you get those things. But I thought, I'm going to try a difficult one.
Okay.
Because you can get much more difficult sets with like hundreds of colors. I think this one probably had about 60 colors in it. I got about maybe 40 stitches in, and it took me like 3 hours. And I was like, I'm going to stop this. So eventually, I did a watercolor painting.
Ooh,
for my mum.
Very fancy.
And actually, it was really good. But everyone was kind of no one really knew, because the whole point is that they've always been just rubbish.
Yeah.
But it kind of came out really well, and I was like, well, I kind of got to give this to her now, because I don't want her to paint something for no reason.
Of course, yeah.
So I gave it to her, and she was like, oh, this is really nice. I was like, I know, I don't know what's happened. But
that's really cool.
It was a nice thing, but it's my brother next year, and I'm thinking, he doesn't listen to this, maybe getting like some limestone and maybe doing like a stone carving. So
that's
like an easily malleable stone.
Yes.
If you've got any suggestions, Swaff Nation, please do email them in, because I'm always up for a challenge.
Andy@russelltalk.com.
Andy@russelltalk.com, indeed. So, yeah. But no, it was a great day. Ate far too much food.
Same.
Being half Swedish, I get to have two Christmas dinners. I have one on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And one on Christmas Day.
Nice.
And then Boxing Day, you were kind of... no one was hungry, but everyone just kept eating, because there's always so much food left over.
You got to eat it.
So I was sitting there just sort of eating and eating and eating and eating. Getting progressively fatter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm probably it's all gone because after I eat, I do something else with a lot of splashback.
We're not talking about that on the podcast, Datsun.
It was a wonderful day, and now it's got to the point where I realise every year that I realise that I have no plans for New Year's.
Absolutely none.
Because all of my friends are now in couples living with their other sort of halves, and then they've sort of been invited to other couples' houses.
Yeah.
And my lady partner has gone home. She doesn't live in... well, she's not originally from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So she has gone home for a few weeks at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And the whole plan was that... the original plan was that she was going to spend Christmas at my place and then we were going to do New Year's together.
Mm.
But as soon as then she got a message, like a call from her mum saying, "Oh, do you want to come over for Christmas?" She hasn't been there for a year, so obviously she wants to do that. So then I was like, oh, but what am I going to do?
But I've got nothing.
You're my only friend. So at the moment, I'm doing nothing, but I need to latch onto something because as much as I don't really care that much about New Year's, I know if I'm sitting there on my own at New Year, I'm going to be incredibly depressed. So one of my friends might be hosting something, so I've just texted him saying, keep me updated. I will come to whatever it is.
Anyway, on that note, we should get into talking about SmackDown, where we're going to be talking about should Daniel Bryan beat The Fiend? Here's the show. On this show, there was an awful lot of Daniel Bryan, The Miz, and Baron Corbin. This went throughout the whole show.
I would say a good third to a half of this show was focused just on this storyline.
Absolutely. And it didn't really change anything, because before this episode started, it was announced that it was going to be Daniel Bryan versus The Miz versus King Corbin to determine the new number one contender for The Fiend's Universal Championship, which would happen at Royal Rumble. And the main event was Daniel Bryan versus The Miz versus King Corbin, but we had a bunch of stuff to get through first before we got there. So it started off and it said, oh, it's going to kick off the show. And I was like, oh, cool. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the main event's going to be, but...
I like a hot start to a show.
Sure, why not? Good. So Daniel Bryan came out, but then King Corbin came out on his sedan chair and he was like, no, I need to do a promo first. And I was like, okay. So then he cuts a promo, says that Bryan and Miz are bad fathers and that he shouldn't even have to challenge for the Universal Championship because he's earned it because he's beaten Roman Reigns twice, which no one has done since he's returned, which is actually a pretty cool stat, I guess. It's a nice little, I don't want to call him a justified heel, but that's a nice reasoning for the heel to be annoyed at this. But then that brings out Roman Reigns, who's got annoyed at that for reasons. And the people carrying Corbin drop him off his sedan chair, which was kind of weird.
Luckily, it was only the people on the right-hand side of the sedan chair who drop him. He kind of looks at them going, what are you doing, guys? And they'll go, like, you know, you've seen this, you know, the scene in Shrek where Shrek's like, "You and what army?" And then the guy sort of turns around and realizes that no one's behind him.
Yeah.
So Corbin turns around. Obviously, Roman's there, punches him a few times, and then Corbin escapes into the crowd. And then it's sort of said,
And then it's just an ad break, and I was like, "Oh, so are we just doing Bryan Miz, or are we doing, what are we doing now?"
But I mean, because I'd actually at this point completely forgotten everything that had happened. But luckily, immediately after the ad break, there was a recap of those 3 minutes. So then it was stuck in my mind as to what happened.
Yeah. But then they went backstage and Corbin was yelling at random backstage personnel, three.
Well, he was yelling at what looked like himself without a beard.
Without a beard,
It felt like a bit like a Bray Wyatt promo from about 3 years ago.
That's true, yeah. He's just saying that the match should be postponed. So then they're just like, well, we don't know what's going to happen with this match. So let's go to something else. But later on, there was... It got announced... who was it? Was it Caleb Braxton that was backstage? I think so.
It was Caleb Braxton. Yeah. He just kind of goes, what was that all about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of them.
Yeah, so she announces, having spoken to...
Random personnel
random
man
person
number three.
Three. Yeah.
Yeah.
That Corbin was refusing to compete, and therefore it would be a singles match
between Bryan and Miz.
Which
that's fine.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, great.
Yeah, that's all right then. Yeah.
I don't really want to... Because it was obviously going to then be the main event.
Totally.
I was like, oh, a main event without Baron Corbin. That's the first time I've seen that in a few months, so I'm happy with that.
Exactly, yeah, I was very happy with that. But then midway through the show, I was like, Daniel Bryan's in the ring with no entrance. I was like, so this isn't the main event.
He'd already had one earlier.
I didn't want to double up on it. So I was like, so this isn't the main event then. And then The Miz came out, and Miz got pyro in his entrance. I was like, okay, this is the match. Cool.
Carmella got pyro on her entrance, so it's not that special anymore.
That's true. But then it starts off feeling like it's going to be like a big, long match. There's like a little opening sequence. They're feeling each other out, trying to get in their moves. They have a double crossbody spot. And then King Corbin's security run down and cause a double DQ.
The moment they both went down, I was like, well, this is the moment that the match gets stopped, isn't it? So they all come down. They get easily beaten up.
Yeah.
So it's a double DQ. Mm-hmm. And then we're thinking kind of, right, so we have to do this match again.
Yeah. It cuts backstage to Corbin. He's in gorilla position. And he's saying, that's justice, or something.
Yeah, I get what they're trying to do. And in some ways, it really worked because the crowd, like, kept booing. Like they were booing. Because you want to see this match. You've been promised this match twice now. Mm-hmm. And it keeps getting delayed. So, in a way, it's actually really quite clever the way they're doing it.
Yes.
I can understand why someone like myself would be frustrated. But other people were clearly like, we're eating it up.
Totally.
And it's a really good way to build heat because you are just annoying people, really, on purpose, which is a great sort of heel move.
It is, yeah. And it's good that they did eventually do the match because if they had postponed it to the next week, then that's just false advertising.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just not great. But they did end up doing the match eventually. There was a bit where King Corbin in Gorilla says it's justice, and then Kayla Braxton informs him that Roman Reigns has been invited to leave the arena or something like that. He's been told to leave the arena.
He's been told to leave the arena, which is code for he's
going to come out later.
Here.
Yeah.
I would be so happy if they just stopped saying that.
Yeah, it'd be great.
If you just say, if they've been escorted away, don't mention it, because the fact that they then appear later is more surprising. But because they have been banned from the arena is now a synonym for they're going to
show
interfere.
Up later.
It's not surprising anymore. So you're just sort of waiting for it to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, this feud has been built so you also know that Dolph Ziggler is going to appear at some point.
Probably.
Lo and behold, he does.
So because Roman Reigns has been asked to leave the arena, Corbin's like, you know what? I will fight tonight. Mm. I'm feeling it now. So then eventually we get to the main event, which is Miz versus Bryan versus Corbin. And you know what? It's a really bloody good match.
It was a good match.
Really enjoyed it.
A particular spot that I really liked.
That
Miz looked quite good in this.
Miz looked great.
He was really fired up.
Mm-hmm.
He was sort of he was attacking Bryan, and then Corbin would try and intervene, but Miz would generally fight him off.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And there was a really nice spot where Bryan had got Corbin in the figure four, his version of the figure four.
You mean Miz?
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks, Pete.
No worries.
And then Bryan sort of intervened with his lapel lock, and I was kind of, it was really nice spot.
Yeah.
Because Corbin had reversed the pressure.
Yeah, Bryan rolled Corbin over to reverse the pressure onto Miz, so he was hurting Miz, and then put a lapel lock in Corbin, so he was hurting both of them at the same time.
Yes.
With Corbin doing half the, it was great. Yeah, it was a really, really inventive spot.
Cool move.
Yeah.
And then, Ziggler comes in,
hits a super kick onto Bryan. Bryan hit a running knee onto Corbin, so it looked like Bryan was going to win.
Yeah.
But then Ziggler came out of nowhere, hit a super kick on Bryan, and then he rolled Corbin onto Bryan, almost going to win. But then Corbin gets dragged out of the ring. By who? By the big dog, Roman Reigns, once again.
Ooh.
Ooh-ah. And then he beats down Corbin, and it goes straight to an ad break. And I was like, whoa, okay, I thought that was the end of the match. Apparently not. And we come back, and Reigns and Corbin have brawled out of the arena, so
we're just told
on commentary.
They're not here anymore.
They're just not here. So now it's Miz and Bryan one-on-one.
Yeah.
And I had a prediction, which I'm really glad didn't come true. I was like, I swear to God, if they say now it's a singles match and they have a DQ finish, when it started off as a triple threat, I swear to God, but they didn't.
I actually thought this was the best Bryan-Miz match we'd had in this whole sort of their feud, because their ones earlier in 2019 were pretty poor.
The builds were really good.
Yeah,
but I don't think the matches didn't reach that caliber of the builds. Yeah.
It was a fun match. Miz was kind of working heel almost. He was targeting the knee of Daniel Bryan, which it's quite a cool thing, because obviously Daniel Bryan's finisher is the running knee.
Yeah.
So that was a cool. He sort of did this sort of like a shin breaker from
the middle rope. Like yeah. jumped off and did a shin breaker. It was really, really cool.
And did
yeah.
another, did another few few. Like Brian was struggling to hit his yes kicks.
Mm-hmm. Great selling from Brian.
Absolutely. I think the Miz kind of forgot that Brian has two finishers. so yeah, Brian locks in the LaBelle lock and Miz taps.
Yeah. Brian kicks out of the skull crushing finale before that as well, which was nice.
He does.
Which was a nice little spot where, you know, it looked like he was going to win. It was actually really cool for Miz. Hit the skull crushing finale, but then pinned him in a way so that as soon as Brian kicks out, he goes straight into a figure four.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a really cool spot. But yeah, he gets a, like a modified LaBelle lock and then he kind of grabs his arm and then transitions to the face. Yeah. Miz trying not to have his hips on the floor. So he was trying to scrambling sideways and stuff. It was really, really well done. But yeah, Brian gets the submission victory. Quick Firefly Funhouse appears on the screen just being like, I don't know if he is done with you. Ooh. Talking about the Fiend. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Are you willing to let him in? Blah. And then it goes to Fiend face. It cuts back to Brian, and he just starts celebrating, does a yes chant to end the show. I thought it was pretty well done, honestly. Yes. I think the story got a bit convoluted throughout the show. It's kind of, it's a triple threat. It's a singles match. It's a triple threat. It's a singles match. It kind of went back and forth
worked,
a bit too many times.
But it
times.
Was also a bit sort of like, okay, you've done this one too many times
exactly.
now.
Exactly. It did feel a bit repetitive by the end.
The question is, Pete, should Daniel Bryan beat The Fiend?
I was getting there, Datsun.
At Royal Rumble. And the answer is no.
I don't think he should, no. I think this story has been really, really good. And I love that the transformation he's done on Bryan made him go back to, you know, his roots, how he kind of started this decade. I think it's too early for The Fiend to lose. And I think that there's so much story potential for Bryan if he loses going on for Miz and or Corbin or all these other avenues he can take after it that isn't him beating The Fiend. Yeah. Now, I will say, though, if he does beat The Fiend, I don't think I'm going to complain. I still think that Brian beating The Fiend, I think that's actually okay.
I think Ollie and Luke would take a week off if that happened.
I don't think they will.
I think it would be very damaging.
You reckon?
He's
already damaged, though. Hell in a Cell.
I know, but
really killed him.
You don't want to damage him more. Is that like?
I don't think it will, though. I think that he's already had that moment of damage, which is irreparable. He's not going to be ever at the same level as he was before Hell in a Cell this year.
No.
So I think if Brian beats him at Rumble, I think that's okay if it plays into a story.
Mm.
If there's some sort of repercussion from it moving forwards, if The Fiend has an extra character trait because of it,
I think there are two ways this should go. One is that The Fiend just squashes Brian in a minute.
I love that.
Completely takes him out, and
that'd
then
cool.
everyone's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
He just did that to Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy. Like, because in that way, they can rebuild him as this. Because they, yes, if you say they've done loads of damage to him as a sort of person who just takes lots of moves and kicks out, that's not what you want. You want someone who just wins.
Yeah.
Or you have him actually struggle a bit and then just get himself DQ'd in a kind of just by sort of destroying Brian, like getting a weapon of some kind and just completely just ripping him to pieces. Because I think he has to win, and I think he has to at least have it to WrestleMania. It seems like they're building towards Roman Reigns versus The Fiend, which obviously you would expect Roman to win because there'll be a sort of, who can defeat this man?
Do you mean to tell me that they want to have a Roman Reigns crowning moment at WrestleMania?
I know, it's a shock. It's a shock idea. But
what?
I think they might.
I don't think they've ever done that before.
I think they might go for it this year. Because they've probably been reading WrestleTalk.com.
Bold prediction, that.
And I'm going for it. I'm sticking my neck out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to do it. But to answer the question, no, he shouldn't win. I would have been much more disappointed if, like, someone else had beaten him. Daniel Bryan's a more worthy winner.
Totally.
However, I don't want him to win. And I don't think he should win because he's not. He can lose as many times as he like, and he won't lose anything out of it.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think Brian should win. I don't think I'm going to be as mad as I would be for someone else. But yes, I agree. I don't think he should win.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
But let's see what you guys thought. Let's get into some Susu Super Chats, or in this case, Susu Super Chat, singular, from Jobber JJ, who just says, "Hello, lads. Hope you had a very Merry Christmas. Who in WWE feels like the Royal Rumble winner, male or female? We all say Roman, but is he really?"
Probably.
I think it's going to be Roman and Corbin as the final two.
I shall...
And he'll eliminate Corbin.
Oh, that's a good idea. I'll check what...
No, it's not. It's a terrible idea.
No. That's a good idea, and that's probably what's going to happen.
It's a good prediction.
Yeah.
Are you going to look up the live
betting
odds?
I'm going to check the current betting odds. I believe, last time I checked, it was Roman and Ronda.
Ronda is a very good shout.
Yeah, so Roman Reigns is favourite. Then
big fave.
And CM Punk. Kevin Owens, Bray Wyatt, and Kane Velasquez.
Ugh.
Latest is that Velasquez isn't going to win, isn't going to be facing Brock,
yes,
at,
Brock
WrestleMania.
At Mania, yes.
Oh,
nor is Tyson Fury.
New favorite for the Women's Royal Rumble. It is no longer Ronda Rousey. She is now second favorite. And the new favorite is Shayna Baszler.
Ooh. So, that's very possible.
Absolutely
see
that happen. They gave her the crowning moment at Survivor Series.
Totally.
They've pushed her. Apparently, everyone really likes her. Everyone likes the way she works.
And they could totally do a Shayna Becky match at Mania.
Yeah,
because
they've
was,
already had that.
And Shayna won at Survivor Series, tapping out Bayley rather than Becky. So they've still got that tension. They have that really cool video package together, that sit-down interview together in the build to Survivor Series. So, yeah, I'd be
absolutely
well up for that. That would be awesome.
Let's have a look. Should we see who the lowest bottom favorite is?
Bottom favorite, yeah, let's do it.
Stephanie McMahon,
150 to 1. Nice.
Zaya Lee is 151.
That
150 to 1
is
well.
Not surprising also.
So good luck, Zaya. I think you're going to do
Zaya
it.
Good luck,
Zaya Lee. But to answer the question, I think it probably will be them, but if it's not them, you'd want it to be someone. You'd want it to make a new star, so maybe someone like Drew McIntyre. I would
Alistair
love
Black.
To see him win. Alistair Black, on
Buddy
the
Murphy
on the women's side. Someone coming up from NXT, yeah, like Shayna Baszler is a great idea. I actually think that's
a great
the
idea.
Best idea. Or maybe someone like Dakota Kai. I don't know. Just build a star. If not, then I think Bobby Lashley and Lana should win.
Dana Brooke.
Dana Brooke's not going to win.
You don't know that.
No.
Let's get into the rest of the show. So, the rest of SmackDown opened up. Sorry, the episode of SmackDown opened up with Elias. And he started a, when I say we need Elias, you say yes we do.
Should we do a quick reenactment of this?
Go
so
for
I'll
it.
Go, when I say Elias, you s- what was it?
We need Elias.
We need Elias. You say yeah, the crowd didn't get into this.
Didn't really. I think it was about two people that tried to
get in. It was quite awkward. Like, yeah. The second time, maybe 10 people joined in. But yeah, the first time he said it and they kind of...
Elias then ran down the card for that night, talking about how Lacey Evans is going to be on A Moment of Bliss. We had the triple threat with
the
Miz.
The return of A Moment of Bliss, what I've been waiting for. That's my real Christmas present this
That's
year.
True, yeah. I would be perfectly okay with this every single week if it was more funny. Because I think there was a couple of jokes at the start which were fine. I mean, he got massive round of applause at the end of his little performance running down the card. Yes. So I think if he keeps doing this, it's a bit
right.
That's
because he ended with some... He like said Shane McMahon sucks and things like that.
So that was at the start.
Yeah,
he
no,
said,
but like throughout...
It's Friday Night SmackDown and it starts right now.
He was building he was building up. And interestingly, I thought the most interesting thing about this was that it was before the opening credits. Because normally you do the opening credits and then you
cold
go,
open. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elias.
Elias, yes.
But yeah, no, actually it opened the show. And then you had the... Pete really likes
hate that opening music so much.
But it's
a fine song. It's a bad song to open a wrestling show.
But no, it was cool. It was a different opening, and I like it when they try new things. So
yes.
Thumbs
agreed.
Up.
Thumbs up for me.
But I still don't think Elias is a babyface. I just...
It's strange, isn't it?
I know he is
it
a baby.
Worked before.
I know he is a babyface.
Yeah.
But I don't think he should be a babyface. No. He is so much better as a heel. He gets so much more crowd reaction as a heel.
Ah, well.
Because he's really good at saying hometown suck.
Yeah.
And what better way to get heat?
Yeah. After the opening Brian Corbin Reigns stuff, we have a 6-man tag next, which is The New Day and Braun Strowman. So Kingston and
so
Big E versus Shinsuke Nakamura, Cesaro. And Sami Zayn is wrestling again.
For the first time.
Good God.
Since on TV, he's done house shows, but for the first time since the 19th of August.
Or that's my birthday. August, my actual birthday.
You've just ruined this now. August 19 for our American watchers.
Yes. That's a long bloody time.
The first round of the King of the Ring tournament, which was obviously won by Baron Corbin.
That's four bloody months.
But
they've not used Sami Zayn as a wrestler.
He was injured.
But he's the best wrestler. He's not the best.
He's one
of the best wrestlers on the roster.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very nice to see him in his very plain trunks. tights, I guess. It was a fun match.
It was. This was a really fun match. It started off, one thing, I was like, okay, 6-man tag, this will probably be a little bit fun. Generally, 6-man tags in WWE are. And there was one thing that just really piqued my interest. As they went into an ad break, Cesaro hit the biggest uppercut in the world to Kofi Kingston
over
the commentary table.
And it is that thing that footballers do when they kick someone by going...
I didn't
touch him.
He dived over the commentary table.
Absolutely. It was kind of like, okay, this is a fun match. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is going to be a really fun
match. This is a really fun match, yeah. And then there was another one after the ad break when, again, Kingston was the one that got beaten down in this match repeatedly. Yeah. They did a really long beatdown, but it was a fun beatdown. It wasn't like a long, like, here's a rest hold.
Yeah.
Tag in, here's a rest hold. It was a really fun, entertaining beatdown of Kingston, which really organically built to a massive Braun Strowman hot tag.
Yeah.
There was another really good uppercut from Cesaro. Kingston sold it like a champ.
Yeah.
He just collapsed. It was awesome.
No, I knew the hot tag was coming. Everyone knows the hot tag's coming.
Of course you do.
But the more you delay it, and when you delay it by not doing rest holds, the crowd's building and building and building. When they finally do it, it was massive. He just runs into the ring, just like shoulder charges everyone. Then he realizes that everyone is outside the ring. And you know what? I really liked the fact that they didn't just do him running round and round and round and round. They stopped it. So what was it? Nakamura jumps in, Nakamura being awesome, with a massive knee off the steps. It was just really nice to see them change it up, because you kind of with WWE, a lot of the spots are for kids, should we say? Because they are, everyone wants to see specific spots in a match, but to see it kind of interrupted by something new and interesting. Was really fun to see.
It was really, really nice. There was a bit where Nakamura was going to get power slammed by Strowman, but Cesaro saved him, then does his springboard corkscrewing uppercut thing that he does to Strowman, which took him off his feet, which is great. That wasn't like a little like, oh, I'm going to no-sell this uppercut.
Yeah, and there was a bit it was really good. Outside the ring where Cesaro just runs into Strowman, and Strowman goes flying, and it's like, I just forgot how good Cesaro is.
I know, Cesaro is awesome.
He's so strong, and they'd like they do these mini power spots for him. And but then he loses the next week to whoever you like. He's great.
And then the finish came when Nakamura grabbed the pancake tray that Kingston came out with, that he carries his pancakes on, and he looks like he's going to hit Strowman with it while the ref is distracted. But Kingston comes up, grabs the pancake tray, donk over Nakamura's head, which allows Nakamura to be power slammed by Strowman for Strowman to pick up the pinfall victory. And honestly, I know it's never really fun when your champions get pinned. I am perfectly okay with Nakamura getting pinned here, because he's protected from the fact that they used the foreign object on him. So he's protected in that way. And the referee was distracted. It was a big six-man tag schmoz, as it were. And then Strowman won with a power slam. And it sets up a Strowman-Nakamura IC title plan, probably for the Rumble.
We never put pancake platters on our T-shirts, did we, as the foreign objects?
No, we should. We should look into that.
Have to do it at WrestleTalkMerch.com.
WrestleTalkMerch.com. Good plug.
But it was a really fun match. And then after the
Speaking of fun...
The New Day is sort of dancing around, and they're trying to get... And they sort of say, you always say get these hands... But
this time for Detroit, they should get this dance.
Which they should have just said, get these hips, get these obviously. Hips.
Totally.
Which the crowd started chanting.
Yeah.
And it sort of pushes away Kofi and Big, I don't think anyone's fooled. He was obviously going to do it. But he does a fun dance.
Yeah.
Which,
it's just,
whatever.
You know what?
It's a fun moment.
There was massive.
I'm not going to complain about it.
House show vibes on this one is what it was.
And
I said, I'm not going to complain. It was fun.
We got an advert. Did you see this? For Bobby Lashley and Lana's wedding on Monday's episode of Raw.
Totally.
And
it's going to be a fun time.
Forgot how much I hate this. I am. I'm not a particularly negative person when it comes to this sort of thing. But
I think that's the funniest joke you made all day, mate.
That it just reminded me of how appalling this whole thing is. I know people.
It's really
I know people find it really entertaining, but I can't bring myself to.
I know.
And then we got another recap of what happened earlier,
and we get a recap of Roman Reigns getting dog food poured over him, which is. Always something I want to be reminded
absolutely,
of.
Absolutely, because I just forgot.
But then backstage, Sonya Deville is signing some magazines. In walks Mandy Rose.
For who?
I don't know. But Mandy Rose walks in and just says, hey, I've got a match next. Let's go. And Sonya Deville was like, you didn't come for my match last week. Why would I come out for your match this week?
Which they didn't mention, but they made up on WWE.com exclusive. They were like really happy and friendly after that, but they clearly, because that wasn't on TV, they've just gone, oh no, you want to
it doesn't count.
You want to be annoyed at each other next week. So yeah, so as you said, so she was like, oh, well, I'll just finish signing these and then and I'll come out to your match with Carmelo. Yeah. Don't worry, I'll be there.
Yeah. And it was because Mandy had Otis's sweat over her from the hug last week is why she couldn't go out.
Absolutely.
So she's, you know, goes away with her magazines and Otis walks in holding a big cake. A fruit cake, and
fruit
he
cake.
Says it's a homemade fruit cake. It's got fruit in it, which is a great line. Mandy says it's really sweet, and then she takes it and she walks off. And Otis kind of does like a little as she's walking away, like reaches his hand out. It was Otis is great.
Do you
bloody love Otis?
That Mandy's in love. Do you think perhaps that she has been swept away by the currents?
The currents, as in.
The currants in the cake.
In the fruitcake. The currants.
Has she been swept away by the currants? Like in a river.
It's not as good as your previous ones, mate.
No.
In previous weeks.
It's been a tough week, everyone.
It has, yeah. Christmas has really got to you.
Yeah. But I don't like fruitcake. I mean, I would have been really quite disappointed with that.
Hey, it's homemade. Appreciate the effort.
Did you say his mum made it?
Yes.
Yeah. Pre-sliced and then iced, which is a very unusual way of doing a cake, I have to say.
Hashtag pre-sliced and iced. So it looks like Mandy and Sonia might be kind of breaking up. There's a lot of tension with Otis kind of getting involved with Mandy, and maybe Sonia's going to start blaming Otis and be like, no, he's distracting you from what's important and all that jazz. So yeah, there's a lot of tension playing up that, which was played up later on, which we'll get on to.
You don't need to break them up because they're not doing anything anyway.
Not at all.
And as soon as they become single stars, they'll just become single stars who lose.
The thing
anyway.
Is, though,
and they're just, at the moment, they're just a tag team that loses. And if you break them up, then they're just two single stars who lose.
At the minute, they're still having singles matches anyway.
Yeah.
So you don't even need to break them up, but hey ho, whatever.
They're building Carmella. So that's,
speaking of singles matches,
yes,
Carmella versus Mandy Rose happened without Sonya Deville. She didn't come out.
Weird thing about this match is that Corey Graves' gimmick is that he finds Mandy Rose the most intoxicating woman in the world.
I know, yeah.
While his real-life girlfriend is having a match with her.
I know.
So he's kind of going, oh, Mandy's so attractive.
Yeah.
When he's like, she's being beaten up by his girlfriend. Yeah. So it was an interesting dynamic.
Carmella had a little in-screen promo as this match started, just saying she's a former SmackDown Women's Champion, former first Miss Money in the Bank, etc. But this match actually got a little bit longer than normal. It was like... you know, 5 minutes rather than one, which is better. And it was okay. There was a couple of nice little spots. Mandy hits a nice knee kick.
It was a two-star solid, normal match.
Yeah.
And Carmella wins with a super kick. But yes, Sonya was not at ringside.
Yeah. There was a nice little sequence of roll-ups before that, I thought, which came with then a super kick and then Carmella picked up the win. It's a bit unfortunate that, like, Carmella got the win. Hey, Carmella got the win. Now let's talk about the main event. It was, like, a very quick, like, okay, that's done. Women's stuff out the way. Let's talk about the main event.
As usual.
But, Sonya Deville wasn't there for that. See how that plays into it next week. Sheamus cuts the same promo that he's been cutting forever now, saying it's a new SmackDown, blah, 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 blah. He's going to come and destroy people. Sure.
I genuinely don't remember anything he said because I just assumed it was the same as last week.
It is.
At least they're not saying coming soon. They're just saying
at least not coming soon.
Because they're not just saying coming soon, because then that could be WrestleMania or like Royal Rumble 2034.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I'm looking forward to him coming back, but this is getting a bit tiresome.
Yes, agreed. We then get the return of A Moment of Bliss.
Finally.
And I like the way they introduce this. It's Alexa Bliss and her best friend, Nikki Cross.
Because everyone's best friends with everyone.
Everyone's best friends.
But yeah, and she even lets Nikki speak.
Mm.
And she's like, ooh, welcome Lacey Evans to the show. hello, Scotland.
Oh my God, what's her name? Who did that just sound like? What's her bloody name? The presenter woman. What is her name? I've got a picture of her face in my head and I can't get rid of it. Lots of things. She does a lot of like morning shows and stuff like that.
Oh, Lorraine Kelly.
Yes, Lorraine Kelly. That's who you sounded like.
Shout out to you, Lorraine.
Shout out to all the American viewers who will not get that reference.
But Lorraine Kelly introduces Lacey Evans, and Alexa kind of reminds Lacey that Sasha was very mean to her and her daughter, and then Lacey says, kind of, I'm proud of my kid. If you do that in front of my kid, I snap. The last thing you want to do is mess with the child of a mother.
Yeah.
Which is every child ever.
Yes.
Because if you're a child, you have a mother.
You have a mother.
I think she got her words mixed up. But it was a fine, it was an acceptable promo. And what I liked was that she wasn't a stupid babyface. She said,
no.
If I sit here for any longer, they're going to blindside me. So I'm going to get to the ring so they can't kind of attack me from behind. Which is cool, which is like fine.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. It's stopping what I thought was... She basically said, this is what you all thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stop that from happening.
Yes.
But then it happened anyway to Dana Brooke.
Because she's not as important as Lacey Evans.
Dana Brooke with her word art entrance.
I thought it was a good promo from Lacey Evans, yeah. And she's actually a pretty decent babyface.
Yes.
I think she's coming off as quite sympathetic. It's a very easy story to sell, to be like, you're messing with my daughter,
yeah.
Don't do that. But yeah, I think she's doing pretty well. As Dana Brooke comes out, as you mentioned, she's being dragged out by Bailey and Banks, and Banks gets on the mic and just be like, hey, you may be a good mother, but you're a terrible tag team partner.
Why didn't they move any of the Moment of Bliss stuff? They just kind of left the set there.
I think probably because Lacey Evans went off the script and walked to the ring before it could end.
The guys in the black probably t-shirt like couldn't get there in time.
I know, yeah.
But
then they all brawl, goes for an air break, comes back, and the match is underway. I thought this match was actually pretty okay again. This was actually pretty decent. It built to a hot tag for Lacey. And Lacey's hot tag was actually pretty good, I thought.
Yep.
She's got some nice offense that can get the crowd going. There was a lot of, she did a little, forget what you call it, like a slingshot elbow over the top rope. And she did a really nice moonsault, the one where she goes on the middle rope. She did a little salute, jumps up to the top as she spins around and does a moonsault off it. It was cool.
The problem with Evans at the start of her main roster run was that she had quite a cool moveset, but she kept just botching every move she did. And there was that horrible... who did she hit that? Natalya, I think she hit a really horrible moonsault on because she just landed knees first into her gut and her and her chest. But she hit this one really cleanly. She's hitting. Mm-hmm. I really like her moonsault. Her slingshot elbow. As you said, she's got some really just a nice sort of moveset.
Yeah.
And Dana Brooke has just improved beyond
so much. Yeah,
anything. She's never going to be over particularly over with the crowd, but using her as a kind of lackey for Lacey Evans as sort of like a sympathetic babyface to take the pins or the submissions as she did in this. But there was a nice moment where Sasha ducks a women's right and she just clocks Bailey instead,
which was nice.
But the finish comes where I think is it Sasha throws. Or someone throws Lacey into the corner. She does the Braun Strowman shoulder first into the corner post spot. And then Dana tries to roll up Sasha, but then gets rolled up into the bank statement. She taps pretty quickly.
But I thought it was a solid finish. It was really smoothly done. From the roll up straight into the bank statement was a really, really nice transition. There was a couple of good spots peppered throughout the match. There was a nice hot tag from Lacey. It had everything it really needed to do. I thought it was really, really cool. The only downside, I think, to this feud is that it's building the feud between Lacey and Banks more than it is Lacey and Bailey. It kind of feels like Bailey, who's the champion, is the third wheel of this feud, which is a bit... It's not great, and you should really be building Bailey a bit more.
I can see... So Bailey announced on the show that Bailey is now the longest-running SmackDown Women's Champion, which usually means that she's about to drop it.
Yes.
So... I think Lacey's going to beat her at Royal Rumble.
At Royal Rumble, yeah.
And then Lacey's first feud will be with Sasha Banks. I think that's
makes sense, yeah.
The easiest thing to do. And then so we had that match. It finished. They're kind of celebrating. And then we cut backstage to Dolph Ziggler trying to step on Otis's turf.
Quite literally.
And flirt with Mandy.
Yeah.
And he kind of says, oh, so the cake is there. And he's like, oh, you got me a cake. Oh, you shouldn't have.
You shouldn't have.
And she's sort of like, oh, no, it's not yours. Otis gave this to me. And he's like, oh, and sort of tries a bit of the icing and kind of, oh, you don't want this. It's probably it's better for the cockroaches. Puts it on the floor and steps on it. In fact, you could say that the cake was battered. He battered the cake. He walks off and Mandy sort of looks a bit upset.
Yes, she does.
It was a present, and she was probably going to be tucking into that after
the show.
Yeah, that wasn't actually... That was
almost one. But then Ziggler gets dragged away just as he's about to try and make New Year's plans with Mandy. He gets dragged away by Corbin, who says he needs to speak to him. Wonder what that could be about. And then after that, I thought that was a nice little segment as well. It's classic storytelling where you've got the guy who's kind of the the guy that shouldn't have the girl, quote unquote, and you've got the cocky high school jock in Dolph Ziggler.
With the long hair
who,
and the muscles.
You know, wants to try and get the hot girl and all that stuff. It's basic storytelling, but it's really doing the job.
Here's how good Otis is. My brother never watches wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like, he never, ever, ever watches it. But I got a text from him the other night saying, I was just up and they were doing the highlights of SmackDown. I love Otis. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I mean,
he's great. Yeah,
because he just saw him just like doing his caterpillar mm-hmm. in the match against the Revival last week, mm-hmm. and he's just immediately lovable. I don't know if you did. You mention the bit where he kind of comes out and sort of picks?
Not yet. We get on to that.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, we could just talk about it now because it's literally after the next segment.
Yeah. But... So he cuts backstage, and you see him walking along, and then he spots the cake on the floor, and he picks it up. And he probably thinks that Mandy did it. So he's going to be heartbroken. She's going to have to explain to him next week that she would never break his cake.
I don't understand why Mandy didn't clean it up, though. or get someone to.
Oh, well, it's there.
Well, you know, just destroy the cake. Not my problem.
He iced that cake for her.
Exactly, yeah. Or maybe his mum did. Mm. Like I said before, really basic storytelling. But it's doing exactly what it needs to do.
Absolutely.
I'm into it. Mustafa Ali had a backstage kind of edited promo, which I thought was really, really good.
Yeah, because you saw the stamp. That's the first time I've properly seen that stamp. And when you see his eye just kind of swell up into this, you're like, yeah. That.
Should probably explain what the stamp is.
Yes. Yeah, so early this year, as many people know, he was set to take part in a gauntlet match to decide the
It was the gauntlet match for the Elimination Chamber? Question mark. Number one contender for Fastlane? I don't know.
It was a gauntlet match, and he was supposed to be in it. But the week prior to that, he was in a match with Randy Orton, and he got stepped on, or basically just stamped on.
On the face.
Yeah, and you see it in slow-mo, and Randy basically catches him right in the eye with his heel. Mm-hmm. And yeah, his whole eye just swelled. I mean, you see that something is wrong there. And which forced him to be pulled out from the match. Kofi was put in, and that's basically how Kofi Mania started.
Yep.
Would we have had Ali Mania? I don't know. Mustafa Ali, as he now is.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's kind of mentioning things that happened through the year.
Mustafa Mania is so
much better. And how there was darkness, but he always tries to bring the light.
Yes. He's saying 2019 wasn't that great. Yeah. Here's this thing that went wrong. Here's that thing that went wrong. Here's this other thing that went wrong. Mm. But in 2020, he's going to continue his pursuit to be a champion.
Absolutely.
That's really cool. I can get on board with that. And I think it'll be a really cool moment when he does, if he continues, you know, through promos and through things like that, try and get this story over. Like, I haven't been a champion yet. I really want to be a champion. I think once he eventually does win the championship, a championship of some description.
I can see him winning the IC. Braun will probably beat Shinsuke.
That's what I assume. Braun will drop it to someone.
Yeah, and then Ali can win that. Or he'll just have a feud with Sheamus as a kind of battle of the who can have the longest line of promos on consecutive shows.
Could do that. I'm thinking that Strowman beats Nakamura. Sheamus beats Strowman when he comes back for the IC. And then Mustafa Ali goes against Sheamus.
Yeah.
Eventually. Maybe after a couple of different feuds for Sheamus. Ali comes in. Maybe at SummerSlam time. Ali comes in and wins it then.
The SmackDown roster is a bit thin. And as you mentioned in your news, it appears that the Usos are going back to Raw. So but they're not going to get those either. So the SmackDown roster is looking a bit thin on the ground, especially the tag division, which is why they're kind of having to make all these Franken teams between Nakamura and Zayn and Cesaro and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's the last thing that happened, apart from the main event.
Yes, after that, it was just the main event, which we've already spoken about. Yeah, so I mean,
for me, overall, it was a perfectly good show. Nothing bad happened, really.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you can get annoyed about the sort of them restarting the match a few times. But yeah, for me, it's a high 3 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can give it a 4 because there was nothing there was nothing outstanding. But I enjoyed the majority of the matches and I'm continuing to enjoy the Otis stuff. And having Brian win was the right decision.
Yeah, I agree. I actually gave it a low smacktastic, a low 4 out of 5.
Do positive, Pete.
Because I should positive Pete. Because I really enjoyed The vast majority of stuff on this show, honestly. Like, I really liked the Otis Mandy story, and I thought that main event was class. That six-man tag match was great.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed, like, the Lacey stuff, and even Carmella and Mandy Rose. It was, like, it was a quick match, but it had some cool spots in it, and it did what it needed to do. So, yeah, I'm going to give it a low 4 out of 5 for that one. According to you guys, if we look at the community tab poll we did earlier, 7.7 thousand votes currently. 59% of people voting smack bang in the middle.
I was right.
3 out of 5. With 14% saying SmackDowner as a 2 out of 5, and 13% saying SmackTastic. So it's very, very close
in
that middle
still
bracket.
Clearly drunk from Christmas. 4% said Smacknificent.
And 10% said a smack in the face.
Mm.
So yeah, overall, very much kind of in that middle bracket. But let's see what else you guys thought. Let's get into some more Susu Super Chats. Dan, Mayor of Painesville Dan, comes in to say, "Hi guys, aren't these Super Chats great? I can ask you anything. Wonderful stuff. So, when Ruby Riott returns, where should she go? Raw, SmackDown, or NXT?"
Good question, Dan. I hope you're having a big one. Ruby Riott. That's a good question. She is fit. She's ready to return, apparently.
Yes.
So if she returns, it'll probably be at the Royal Rumble.
I'd assume so.
Because the rosters only have 10 people in like each one. So basically everyone has to be in the match.
Mm-hmm.
I'd put her on... Raw. I'd put her on Raw.
Raw.
Because I think it needs some more sort of challenges for Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
Because she's got Asuka, but I imagine she's going to beat Asuka as a kind of redemption story because she lost last year.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Like, who's she going to face?
Charlotte again.
Yeah, Charlotte. So, I mean, but I would happily see her go back anywhere because she, as she proved on NXT, she's really good.
She's like, great.
Ruby Riott's a brilliant wrestler.
Yeah. Needs to give her a bit more shine.
Yeah. So I'd be happy to see her go anywhere, but just basically put her the place where she's actually going to get a singles run,
yes,
and a shot at a title, because she's more than capable.
Yeah. Jobber JJ comes in to say, "Why does everyone say Ronda return and Reigns will not? Can us fans and WWE move forward and stop going into the past? We will have two new winners, new stars." Oh, so it's saying Rumble winners.
Okay.
It's saying Ronda and Roman. And that's just the common fan theory right now. I think Ronda returning is probably what they want to do. I don't think they actually wanted her to leave after Mania last year.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
But
she has a 3-year contract, so they clearly didn't plan on her leaving.
So I think her returning, they're going to be really pushing for that. And for her to come in and win the Rumble where she made her debut, you know, 2 years ago, I think that's going to be kind of a big moment that they're going to want to have.
Unfortunately, it's the logical decision, which probably means it's not going to happen.
Possibly, yeah.
But it makes sense because that allows Roman to just challenge whoever he likes at WrestleMania, which would probably be The Fiend. And it allows Ronda or Shayna, as it may be, to set up a rematch with Becky.
I just thought of something. What if Reigns wins and then challenges Lesnar?
Next question.
But in agreement with you, though, Jobber JJ, I would love it if we have two new winners and two new stars. That would be great.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't think that's
absolutely
what they're going
to
do.
I want more people to win it and that who haven't won it before. I know Ronda hasn't won it before, but like there are other people who could win it.
Exactly, yeah. We've got some general WrestleTalk-related super chats now. Speakbite Gaming said, "It's Chandy."
Is that our name?
I don't know. "So Christmas evening, I got engaged."
Oh, my
God. Congratulations.
Did you get engaged recently?
No.
Christmas, I don't know if he means Christmas Eve or the evening of Christmas.
No, Christmas evening, I would assume.
That's amazing.
That is. Congratulations.
Well done. That's
And
that's
give us
fantastic.
An invite for your wedding.
Yeah, absolutely. Doesn't matter where it is. Wait, he's called Speigbite. So I'm assuming you're German. Speig is a German word.
Sure.
So, invite us along. I will definitely be there and I will happily be the priest. I'll roll all the R's.
And the final one from Felix Swag 42 is just a super chat, but with no message.
Thank you, Felix Swag 42.
You know, speaking of Christmas and New Year's and things of that nature, worked out this year that I've actually got 4 Christmases. I don't quite know how I've managed that, but my lady partner and I, when I had my time off in early December earlier. We went up to visit her parents up north, and we had a Christmas with them. Got a lot of present exchanging and had a full Christmas dinner and the full works. Had a lot of alcohol, etc., which was fun. So that was the first Christmas. Just had my second one, which was actual Christmas, which was at my parents on that. Christmas Day. I've got a friend's Christmas, which I'm doing tomorrow, which is super fun, with friends, bunch of friends, gonna go and have another full Christmas day. I've got one of my friends who's doing the full dinner.
Wow.
I think we're helping out by cooking a meat, and I think she's doing everything else.
Yeah, that's always the way, because when you make Christmas dinner, you don't actually want anyone to help.
Yeah.
I've done it a couple of times before, and I've thought, I don't want anyone else. I've got this plan in my head, but you know you have to say something to people because they're always going to offer. So you're
totally.
Like, oh, you can put salt on things.
Yeah, you can make the gravy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, yeah. I've got a friend's Christmas tomorrow, which I'm thoroughly looking forward to, especially now because I'm not working on Monday, which I thought I was before. So that's great. And then my lady partner and I are going to have our own little Christmas together as well.
Sweet.
Which is probably going to be like half a Christmas. I don't think we're going to go full out. We're not going to be drinking because we'll have had way too much alcohol by that point. It's just going to be a nice little Christmas day together to kind of be the final one, I think. So yeah, 4 Christmases. Crazy.
I guess I had 2. Maybe, I guess I had 3.
3?
Because I had the English and the Swedish one, and then prior to my lady partner going home, we went to a pantomime, which was very good fun. She'd never been to one before, having not grown up here. And then we went to a sort of petting farm.
Okay.
She loves sheep,
mm-hmm.
but now she loves alpacas because they are great.
They are pretty good.
If you like a pound, I guess that's $1.50.
Yeah.
You got like a bag of sort of pellets. Those are all the animals at the zoo ate.
Yeah.
At the zoo, at the farm ate. And you just hold them in the sort of your flat hand, and they kind of bit of ASMR there for you. But it's a really weird but quite pleasant feeling.
Yeah.
That was a good fun. But speaking of having days off, I woke up yesterday, and because I've only been doing the Saturday show for a few weeks, I still haven't got used to the fact that I need to take a day off in the week.
Yes.
And as you know, I don't like taking time off anyway.
No, you don't.
For those who don't know, I had about 20 days of my 28 holiday days left and in December, so I just had to take days off, and I don't like having time off. But
Work too hard.
Exactly. I woke up yesterday, and I thought, I really don't feel like working today. I've just had 2 days off for Christmas and I just don't want to work. And I'm working tomorrow. And then I realized I haven't taken a day off this week for working tomorrow.
Yeah.
And because I do the rota for the website, I just looked at it and realized that we had 2 people on at once. So I just messaged Danger Louis Dangor.
Mr. Danger.
And said, hey, what are you doing right now? Said, nothing. Well,
Your lucky day.
Do you want to start work 5 hours early? He's like, yeah, all right. I said, it means you can end early. He was like, yeah, that's fine by me.
Yeah.
So the perks of being the boss of the website are many.
Yeah.
So I just took yesterday off and spent the evening with some friends who I hadn't seen in a long time.
Well, that's
watched
very nice.
Moulin Rouge.
Ooh,
watched
fun.
Shrek.
The first one.
Yes, the original, the best one.
Agreed.
And then watched some David Attenborough. So it was just a very nice evening. But now,
sound very nice.
Looking forward to what 2020 brings.
Yay.
And making some. Have you got any resolutions, Pete?
No.
No.
Absolutely not. Because, one, I will never keep them anyway. Plus, I think if you're going to change yourself, why do it on, why wait until a new year? Just do it.
Because it's hashtag new year, new me.
Exactly. I just find it very kind of, it, I don't know, for personal improvement, which I think is a very important thing to do.
Absolutely.
Don't get me wrong. I think it's very important to try and have goals and try and improve yourself almost constantly. But just do it whatever. Rather than being like, hey, it's January 1st. I guess that means I need a new thing.
There's a statistic that like, over half of all gym memberships taken out in January are kind of cancelled immediately.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I mean, I do want to gain weight. For those who don't know or haven't met me, I am stick thin. The only oversized part of me, well, one of two oversized parts is my head.
Which one? And,
yeah. It's massive. Very hairy. But she doesn't listen to this, so I can say it. But my lady partner is trying to lose some weight, and yes. I'm trying to gain weight. So we're kind of giving each other challenge, and like whoever can lose or gain the fastest.
Yeah,
like
we're kind of
giving each other like a reward. So I'll take her out for a healthy meal
for a meal, so she can put the pounds back on.
Yeah,
totally.
But yeah, no, I need to gain weight because I am currently, I think, 9'4".
Yeah.
So in terms of BMI, I am underweight, and I'd rather just not be able to see my rib cage. I just have a very high. I do a lot of sport, and I get full very quickly.
Yes.
So there's not a lot of opportunity for me to put on weight.
Well, apparently, because I hadn't weighed myself in a very long time, but when I moved earlier this year to London, when I signed up at my new GP, obviously you have to do the whole preliminary test and all that stuff. I was weighed during that. And since the last time I'd weighed myself, which granted was probably like a couple of years, I put on 10 kilos, which is quite a bit.
You did live in Newcastle.
I did.
And therefore you kind of just, through osmosis, you pick up grease and things from the air.
Probably true, yeah. Which is 11 stone, by the way. Pretty much bang on 11 stone. I would like to lose some of that, but then also gain it. It's weird, because I want to have more muscle mass than I do.
This isn't a height joke, but because you're not the tallest, does that alter the BMI thing?
Yes, totally.
Like, massively, because for your age, you probably are quite a good weight.
Yeah, I'm average now.
Yeah. But because you're shorter, it might sort of skew it to thinking that you should be lighter than you are.
I know. It's very convoluted. BMI is a bad thing for weight anyway, because it doesn't take into account bone density and muscle mass.
No, exactly. And I've got a massive bone.
Massive bone, mate.
What? Have you got any emails for us, Pete?
Yeah, I was about to say, we're going to move quickly on from that. We've got a quick email from Austin, which actually links into this episode of SmackDown. He says, hey, Pete, I know you guys were wondering if the Otis and Mandy storyline was a one-time funny thing on the holiday show or if it was planned to be more. On the WWE The Bump Show on YouTube, I didn't know that was a thing either, they had Otis a couple of weeks ago before the Christmas ham angle, and they had Otis talk to Mandy Rose's dad trying to win his approval. So maybe it's going to be more. At least we can all hope. Keep up the good work, Austin Tussie.
I think this episode proves that it is going to be more.
Correct, yes. And it was probably one of the better things on the show,
yes,
I'd say.
Which was a perfectly acceptable show. I've actually had an email from Lewis
WrestleTyke,
who works on the website, but it's so boring that I'm not going to read it out.
Sorry, Lewis.
But thanks for
it's all right. I've got a better email.
Thanks for taking quite a lot of time to write this email. But
that's so mean.
Yeah, it's so.
What's it about?
Apocalyptically dull. I got half sentence in talking about wrestling and Christmas. and I just gave up.
Send it to me, Lewis. I'll read it and see if it's worth reading out on a podcast. But on a different note, though, we do have one here from the headmaster, Jonathan Headman.
Oh, my.
Pledgehammer.
I like Jonathan. He emails me a lot, and I like to reply. He's lovely.
He says, hello, everyone. I wanted to check in and give an update. This is a WrestleTalk Get Better and a Rusev Hey.
I got the same email, but you read it.
While still looking for work, I've knuckled down on getting better and been going to the gym. While I can't say I found work yet, I've dropped nearly 70 pounds in 11 weeks. Anyway, enjoy the holidays, and hopefully I'll be back in the Suit Super Chat soon. I've included a pic of my Fitbit showing the loss and a picture of me and John Cena, in quotation marks, at the gym. In case you don't see him, don't worry, lots can't see him.
There's a special thing about this picture. I don't know if you're going to
Jonathan the Headmaster Headman.
Keep going down.
So a picture of his Fitbit, 65 pounds lost. Keep going. Very nice.
Keep going.
And then there's a picture of him.
He flipped it around on my, On my email, I got a picture upside down.
Oh, nice. Of him. Yeah, very good. But yeah, it's him in the gym.
No, sorry. That's like 3.2 kilos a week he's lost.
That's an absurd amount of weight loss.
Which is unbelievable.
That's crazy.
I would love to put, I don't know if it's possible for me to put on. I would probably just have to eat butter for a week. But that is an amazing achievement, John. Keep going. And as I said in my reply to your email, I hope you can find a job very soon, because you're clearly sort of smashing it out of the park in all other aspects of your life. So I'm sure you will do so once you have found yourself some long-term employment as well.
Absolutely, yes. But on that note, that's all the time we've got on this holiday special Wrestle Talk podcast. Mm. It's not really. It's just called SmackDown. It was called the Holiday Special, even though it wasn't really a holiday special. So I'm doing the same thing. We're going to be back on Tuesday. It's going to be me and Luke doing the Raw review on New Year's
Eve. Where's Ollie?
He's taking time off because he's the boss, I guess.
That's true.
Me and Luke are going to be doing the Raw review on New Year's Eve. And then after that, we're going to be back with the normal schedule going forwards. From the 2nd of January, we're going to be back. Me and you are going to be doing SmackDown on the Saturdays. Yes. And then we've got Ollie and Luke on the Tuesdays for Raw. And then we've got AEW with Ollie and Luke, and NXT with Laurie and Simon.
So much content.
So much content.
Have a lovely New Year, everyone. Yes. And if you are less of a Grinch than Pete and aren't making a resolution, then good luck with it, whether it's losing weight, becoming vegan, stopping smoking, just working harder at school,
eating more chocolate,
whatever
it
is. Just good luck with it. And if you don't stick to it, that's just life. Sometimes you can't stick to things. Some things
good luck
just
doing your resolution, but if you don't do it, it's totally fine. So you might as well not do it.
Listen to more of me. That's a good one.
That's a terrible one. No one should do that.
Yes. But yeah, have a lovely New Year. I hope you all had a lovely Christmas, and I will look forward to seeing you in the New Year.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be talking to you guys before New Year, because me and Luke will be back on New Year's Eve, so that's just...
Yeah, I know, but this is just for me. All the Randy fans.
All the
Randicals.
Randicals. Anyway, see you guys later. Love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.